Hello. Welcome to Holden Village. Today is Friday, August 20th, 1999. In the Koinonia fireside this evening is Luther Snow. His session number is 99-9. And the session this evening is Spark, Where Systemic Change Comes From, Strategy for Change, a part of Luther's Change Clinic. Let's listen in.
Okay, well, for the tape, Ken, I'm Luther Snow, and I'm a community economic development consultant. I was born and raised in Chicago and did most of my work in low-income grassroots communities in Chicago for 20 years, and then 6 years ago, my family moved to rural Iowa, to Decorah, Iowa. My wife got a teaching job at Luther College, and she's Lisa Kildegard, and she just finished up her series of poetry discussions earlier this morning. And we've been here for 2 weeks, and this is my last class. And the way Holden Village works is kind of weird. Different people come into classes or discussions every day. So you all get to be the recipient of some of the summing up of 2 weeks of stuff, whether you were here or part of that stuff or not. Actually, today's session is going to be a little different from a lot of the previous sessions because instead of my doing a lot of the talking about change efforts that I have known about and trying to fit them into a model, we're going to use this as an opportunity to examine some change situations that one or more of you are struggling with and see if in a group we can't come up with some ways to strategize change approaches and to maybe give hope to each other in the process. Some of you, I know, have not been here before, though, so let me give you a quick introduction so that you get some sense of what it is that we're talking about. And I kind of want to review some of the lessons that we've been picking up along the way anyway. All this, my thinking in this field and this, I don't know what even to call it, it's not a field, in this concept area, came about because the work I did at Bethel New Life, a Lutheran-based community development corporation on the west side of Chicago, and then for other grassroots community groups and coalitions in Chicago and elsewhere. In some ways, if you're not there, it just seems miraculous and impossible and hard to imagine. Creating housing where no housing had been built for 30 years, overcoming decades of racism and disinvestment and exclusion to create new businesses, new holistic healthcare, new recycling centers, something out of nothing. And yet, it seems to me that it's not so unbelievable, and that all of us, each of us, in our own lives, one way or another, at some point or another, goes about overcoming the status quo. And whether that's in our personal lives, in family life, in community life, in science, in the arts, literature, or whatever, we overcome the status quo and we begin to recognize some of the dynamics of how the status quo perpetuates itself. And I began to look at it in these cycles. I began to see how the status quo perpetuates itself in cycles over time. I gave dozens of examples over the course of the last few weeks, just to pick a couple out of the air. We talked about machine politics in Chicago, where the winner of the election controls the jobs and the contracts and gives out those jobs and contracts then to people who support the winner of the election, and then they build a campaign workforce and a war chest, and that allows them to win the election again. So that's a cycle that perpetuates the status quo, and it's not unlike the cycle that perpetuates the status quo in third world countries and totalitarian regimes and some school boards around the country or workplaces and that sort of thing. I found examples of the cycles perpetuating the status quo in science. I've been reading fascinating stuff about the origin of life and the coming together of physics and biology and chemistry in interesting work that they're doing now. And basically, the theory now is that just because of ripples in the energy when the Big Bang hit, whenever it hit, and then rippling in an effect, a circular kind of a flow through time, asymmetric molecules were created, and from that, cells were created, and from that, proteins transferred information to RNA, which transferred information to DNA, and every step of the way in a kind of a circular flow of information, building and building and building to create now the wonderful complex creatures that we are today. And I began to think about positive cycles and negative cycles. Well, you know, when you talk about nature, you talk about the flow of the life cycle, the water cycle, ecologies, the grassland ecology, climax ecologies in forests. Each of those is kind of having a positive cycle. And thinking then about the positive changes that you want to accomplish and thinking, well, maybe the power of this circular kind of dynamic is what you need to try to overcome bad cycles. And so we've been giving some thought this week to identifying negative cycles and then what would be a positive cycle that could come out of that that we could use to break the status quo and replace it with something much more positive. So that's one thing, the difference between positive and negative cycles. The second point is about scope. Sometimes something that is hard to get a handle on in one level of thinking can be solved if you think about it in a larger scope. So we've talked about, in nature we talked about an earthquake seeming to be cataclysmic and unpredictable and unsolvable, but now geologists are thinking about it as a cycle in plate tectonics and magma bubbling up underneath the Earth's crust. And now they can kind of get close, and they have some models and theories, and I bet they're going to be able to predict earthquakes within the next 10, 20 years. We talked about it in terms of community reinvestment and neighborhoods that have undergone disinvestment and ways that you can break out of the cycle of disinvestment in a community by thinking more broadly about networks of communities, citywide, nationwide, communities of interest between neighborhoods, thinking about, involving federal or state or other resources at a local level and vice versa. So thinking about the scope is a way to kind of get out of a trap of self-perpetuation of the status quo, a vicious circle, if you will. The other thing that we've said is that there isn't a right way or a wrong way to try to break out of a cycle, but that there might be different sparks that could kick it off. And that's something that I've given a lot of interest to. So I read stuff about entrepreneurship and what starts a new entrepreneur to take an innovation and create a new market, or what starts a scientific revolution, the Newtonian, the apple that fell on his head, or whatever it might be. And we've thought about four different kinds of sparks. This is still the same chart that was left up from yesterday's session on economic development. We've talked about external sources of spark and internal, and we've talked about sparks that divert and sparks that co-opt. We're going to use this today, so let me try to explain this in summary. Okay? An external source of spark might be in a chemical reaction, a catalyst that's put in. An external source of spark in a social situation might be, if you get a local community, the federal government coming, a court-ordered busing, something like that. Internal source of spark is when change comes from within. And it could be because the system itself is slowly falling apart, and, Greek tragedies and kotos humbrisate, pride, prosperity, destruction, and the seeds of its destruction are sown in the beginnings of its prosperity. Or it could be because of an affirmative effort from within to use the internal elements of a system to make change within that system. So we talked about asset-based community development when we looked at church action on Tuesday, I think it was, Wednesday. Two different sources, whether it's internal or external. I've given the term diverting to talk about change that exploits a weakness in the system. Okay? So if there's a system that is perpetuating itself through some kind of a strength, go at it the other way and use a weakness to beat it. So, for example, here in economic development, job training programs seem to cream the crop and only are serving the folks who least need job training. Well, let's create our own job, self-employment, buy out of the system altogether. We're not even going to involve ourselves with the job training system. We're going to create our own jobs by self-employing, by creating businesses. Another way to look at it is co-opting the resources within a system. That is using the strengths of the system against themselves. The example I always give for this, one I love the most, is the Oxbow River. And you know what this is? River that flows through a field, right? And so to change the direction of that river, you could build a big dam. But the Oxbow River also changes its direction internally just by carving away with the current on the far bank on one of the loops until it breaks through. Sometimes it creates an Oxbow Lake, but regardless, it changes its own direction. And so here are examples in economic development, for instance, where we talk about black capitalism as an internal thing or minority business development support as an external thing, both of which are trying to use the market and business opportunities as a way to redistribute wealth and to create new economic opportunities for folks who've been shut out of a system, using the strength, though, of the market system to make that change. Does that make sense? That's a little bit complex, and that gets a little further along, but we're going to try to apply some of that here today in some group process, so you'll get a better feel for it when we do that. Why? Why do we do all this? Well, first of all, the personal is political. We're all involved in cycles in one way or the other, in families or communities, in feedback loops. So we ought to understand it. I don't know where that kind of sea change comes from. Second of all, we can understand change everywhere by understanding change in our own lives. So then it won't seem so amazing what Luther Snow does with Bethel New Life or what Jonathan Frerich and Lutheran World Belief do with Kirk and King Mitch if we can make change in our own lives and understand that and understand the process that we go through. Now, we want to replace those bad cycles with positive ones. We want to replace racism and ignorance with culture and learning. We want to replace fear and hate with faith and love, or consumption and degradation with cooperation and sustainability. And to me, there's no prescription here. There isn't any right answer except there was one thing, and that is that I just think all of this action is in a part of a movement, if you will, which is a positive cycle between hope that by hearing about the actions of other people that help break out of a cycle, that gives us hope. These women in public housing in the city of Chicago that I worked with never dreamed that they'd be providing hope to a bunch of folks out here in the northwest part of the country. But they do. The folks there at Honduras hit by Hurricane Mitch never thought they'd be providing hope to others. The folks in the Bible didn't think they would be providing hope to others, but they do. And then that hope gives us the courage and the faith and the vision to take action. And then when we do that, wherever we are and in whatever way that we're doing that, we're contributing to a larger cycle, positive cycle of hope and action. So that's my only prescription here is do something. Be a part of that kind of change. Identify the bad cycles and to break out of them. Which leads us then to today. Today is the Change Clinic, and what we want to do is to identify within the group here some person or persons, because we can do more than one group, and I can facilitate both simultaneously, who have a problem that they're wrestling with or would like to wrestle with where the status quo is perpetuating itself.
Okay.
one way or the other. Doesn't have to be community economic development or institutional dynamics like I've been talking about today and this week. Could be any kind of situation where you think you can identify a status quo that's perpetuating itself in a negative way. Again, individual, family, community, workplace, in your profession, science and nature, weeds in the backyard, gangs on the street, whatever it is. And see if we can't use groups here to talk that through and maybe give new hope to a person that they can take and we can take to use to make more action in the future. How's that? All right, so let's get some volunteers. Does anybody have a situation that they could nominate for group consultation, free of charge? We will waive our ordinary customary consulting fees for this purpose. And take it on. Come on, somebody. Well, how about, let's start with people who've been here this week. When you were in discussions this week, did anything come to mind? Anything that you were dying to talk about and then we never got to talk more about it? Everything's hunky-dory for everybody, is that right?
Kathleen has one.
Yeah, Kathleen, I knew it. Go.
I was rather taken by the Lutheran World Relief process of going into a community and trying to ascertain what the folks there already know how to do, and then figuring out how that could be something that would be marketable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I was kind of wondering what that would look like if we did it in my community. So I guess I'm kind of interested in this
self-employment
mm-hmm. sort of thing, how one goes about helping people to do that.
You work in a junior high school, so 7th, 8th, 9th, something like that. You know, I had an entrepreneurship project in a high school that used not self-employment, but group enterprise as a teaching paradigm. It was fascinating. Flower High School, right there by Bethel New Life on the west side of Chicago, disinvested community, located right across the street from the Garfield Park Conservatory. And this is a big tourist attraction. In the middle of this African-American community, staffed entirely by white people, with almost entirely white visitors. And it's just that remnant of racial change in this community. I think it's the largest indoor conservatory in the country or the world or something. Right. So what they did was they decided to create some youth-run businesses. And they had different tracks there. So there was like a catering track, and there was a financial services track, and so forth. And they're supposed to have classes grouped by these things. And they used the business as like the practicum. Do you know what a practicum is for nurses and doctors? It's the real-world business where you practice. It's a practicum. You practice what you're learning in the real world. And one of the things they developed was a sidewalk cafe for the conservatory. Now that's the catering business, and then they were partnered with a trade association called La Dame de Scoffier International. I'm great in French. This trade association kind of adopted them and took them under wing, and they were able then to use that business to capture some money in the local economy from some of the visitors as they practiced for math. As a practice for social studies, why is this the first time any business of this sort has ever been developed in this community? And as career experience, and then they went and visited other restaurants and so forth. So, yeah, we could talk about self-employment or group enterprise as a possibility. We need to know more about a community situation and what is it in the community that's kind of creating that status quo. But let me put it down here just in a generic sense. And then we'll see what other ideas we can get. Okay? Group enterprise. Yeah.
Yeah, I probably have colleagues on every one of those things that I've been sort of struggling with, actually.
Well, so good. That's what you're here
But I don't know if I want to pose most of them on people, but I do belong to a church in, I live in Yakima, and this is sort of a takeoff on the first session that I went to, but I do belong to a church that has a very wonderful minister. It has great, it's this great facilities, and I had been on the community outreach program, community outreach committee for a couple years, and I was really frustrated by the efforts of this group of three, where we were doing a lot of things like Christmas families, and I wanted to do more with, we had this wonderful facility, and we did, I attempted to do a sort of a homeless, it was a sort of a homeless shelter overflow kind of idea, and the church went for it, but then it turned out there wasn't a need. But I'm really interested in doing more community activism and involvement, and I live in a community that is extremely poor. It's Hispanic, 50% Hispanic, and I'm in this church where I love the minister, but I would really like to see this community, this church community, do more with a bigger project that would maybe involve working in the underserved population there, which has a lot of needs.
Okay,
but
that's good. All right, we'll ask questions about the situation in the context of group problems. Thank you. Others. Any of you folks who have been, Julie, Colleen?
I think about use of environmental materials in construction. There are a lot of more environmentally friendly materials out there that could be used in place of environmentally unfriendly materials, but there's difficulty in getting general contractors to use those kinds of materials.
Okay. That's very specific. Okay. Any others? Okay, well, three is good. In fact, we might need to vote, maybe even bring it down to two. Can I say one thing? Are those problems or solutions?
Solutions.
They're all solutions. So that's all right, we can work backwards. But maybe that'll help us with that spill thing that we talked about. I mean, it's sort of, by suggesting a solution, you're sort of implying a problem. So I guess that would be the first part of what we got to work with as a group, is kind of flesh out what the problem is. Maybe that the solutions that we arrive at then are different from this after we go back to the problem. Is that okay? I mean, and you could just say, okay, those are all solutions, and then put them in here. But here, environmental materials and construction. So the cycle here, the problem, would be something like the status quo in the construction industry, right? So what? Why is this? Contractors are used to certain materials. What's the opposite of green? Brown? Non-green materials, right? They may have special deals with suppliers, right? Right. And so they tend to use those materials. So those are the ones that they end up getting to know. See how that works? Do you see how that works?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that's the cycle that perpetuates the status quo. We always done it that way. Have you seen that before? Seen it in your workplace? Seen it in your church? Seen it in your family? Let's do this community outreach of the church thing.
I think I should say that I think the church is dying too.
That sounds more like a problem.
I think the church is
Dying. Is it in a downward spiral?
It's been in a downward spiral.
Well, feed it to me then. What does that mean? Can you see if I write up here, everybody?
It's an aging church. And
aging church.
It's an aging church.
The congregation. The profile of the congregation is getting higher in age.
Yeah, but it's a fairly progressive church as churches go in Yakima. And that all the people, I mean, this is a bigger problem nationally, but all the kids, young adults are going to the more fundamentalist churches in the area. Anyway, I think it's lost its mission. It's sort of.
That's got to be on here somewhere. Actually, that's enough of a cycle right there. I don't know. You got to also have here lose new congregants, right? Because it isn't that there's anything wrong with having an older congregation, per se, right?
No,
what's wrong with it is that it seems to suggest that some people who always been there are still there, and of course, every year they get older, right? We all do, right? Well, we're not attracting new ones, right? So probably starts up here, and yeah, I hear a lot about this lost mission. Aging congregation. And then what? What about this part? So what? So if it, why does it continue to spiral? Why does that increase the sense of a lost mission then? We're no longer getting new folks into the congregation, so?
You're asking me
what is that? If that's the cause, what does that affect?
Well,
who said they were a pastor? Bill.
Self-identity. Or
self-identity.
Which I think feeds into the lost mission. There's the sense that of being adrift, not knowing how to reach folks today. And so it's
losing touch?
Losing touch with the community.
Okay. And that could contribute to further lost mission. Right? Now you got it? Does that make sense to you? What's your name, ma'am?
Sarah.
Sarah?
Yeah, it does.
Seen that before. Have you?
Yeah.
Churches? Mm-hmm. Happens all the time. I think the ELCA has a whole division just to deal with that. Go around the country dealing with that. Well, let's do this last one, group enterprise in a community. Why, when you saw that being done in third world countries, did you wonder if that could be applied to your community? Tell us about your community situation.
Live in a community where a number of people have very, very high-paying jobs, and a number of people have service jobs which they can just barely support themselves and would never be able to support a family on.
Uh-huh.
And a fairly good-sized number of people, perhaps they're just noticeable to me, are not regularly employable at all.
Okay.
So it's just that very great difference between people who have very good jobs and therefore have a lot of resources and can make a lot of choices, and people who either don't have jobs that pay very well or don't appear to be regularly employed.
All right, so there's a gap between the rich and the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday we spent the whole session talking about the rich get richer poor get poorer. Okay, but let me get your analysis here. Why the folks in these service jobs aren't stepping up the ladder of the American dream in your community?
I don't know. Could be a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
They lack education. In my area, it could be racist. Could be they don't have the transportation to get to where they need to get. They don't have a lot of models of this is how you do it.
Are there jobs?
It appears to me that there are jobs because when I open the newspaper, there are pages of help wanted jobs. Now, I don't know how real that is. That's
yeah,
the only
it's very hard to tell.
Got.
So it could be skills. Or transportation.
Might be a belief about the kind of people who can do... I'm not the kind of person who can do that.
Could be. Could be belief in the part of the employer that you're not the kind of person who can do that. Okay. And to figure out how to get out of that cycle, you probably have to emphasize or focus particularly on one or two of these things as being part of the problem. Maybe I could talk about what stuff entrepreneurship is especially appropriate for. Okay, good. Just to get a straw vote here, and then we'll talk about breaking out into groups. We've got A, B, and C. A, community with a gap between the rich and the poor, an apparent lack of economic opportunity for the poor. B, a dying church that's progressive, but it's lost its mission. And C, the stayed in the, what is that called? Stayed in the wool? I'm mixing them. Died in the wool, stayed construction industry that can't get out of using the old materials. All right? Just for a straw vote, tell you what, vote for two. Sometimes that makes people feel more comfortable. And then I'm going to count. All right. Can somebody help me count? Julie, will you help me count, please? Thank you. All right. Everybody who would participate in a group on this one, raise your hand. One.
I see five.
Five. And then everybody who would do B, the dying congregation, raise your hand.
Seven, eight, nine, ten.
Okay. And then everybody who would do environmental construction materials, raise your hand.
Six.
Did everybody vote? Did everybody vote twice? Okay, good. I can handle three groups. I can handle it. I gotta get report backs from each of you, and we gotta move a little bit more quickly in the report backs when we do that. Or I can do what I did last time was two. What do you think? All right, here's what I'm going to do. You vote with your feet. Right here is a community that has this gap between the rich and the poor and cannot enterprise help. Okay? Here, right around Bill, not that you have to stay there, Bill, is the dying church. Well, let's tell you what. Let's make it the middle here. Okay? So go sit over there if you want to do that one. And over here, by Julie, the one she suggested about materials. Okay. Pick the one you want to do and go there.
We're coming to Julie.
Go ahead and... Yeah, how are we doing here? Looking like your group is going to be pretty small. Then when you all get into, when it, can I ask you two to go to this group, which is a little smaller? Would that be all right? The environmental materials? Okay, and I'm going to hand out some worksheets here. Somebody hand these out in this group, please. And I would like the extra. Well, actually, I don't care if I get the extra. It's probably. I want them in the mixed office paper recycling. And here is a second worksheet. And you may not end up using all or any of these, but there might be things that you can take home. All right, here's the procedure, people. You know, I just want to leave this stuff up here because we've already done some of the work. Okay?
If you want.
First thing is to describe the system. Okay? What all is involved in this cycle? Who's in it and who's not a part of it? Okay, we're still passing out the paper. What happened to all the little pencils? Do people have stuff to write with?
No.
Okay. I'll get those while you're talking, okay?
Okay.
All right. There's the... There's the
Oh, God.
Thank you, Julie. Julie's got writing implements.
Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
They usually have this box of pencils. I'll find it. Okay. Let me just give you the five steps here, okay? Number one, the scope. There's a system involved in perpetuating the status quo. What is it? Okay? Who's inside the system? Who's out? Spend a little bit of time on it. Don't spend too much, but you'll probably come back to it again later. Okay? And then to describe the bad cycle. So the first two steps are the problem. Okay? A and B, if you will. Okay? We've already got versions of the cycles up here, so you're a little bit of a step ahead. And in fact, by looking at the cycle the way we've described it, you can back up into the system. All right? Then, we're going to talk about replacing a cycle, the bad cycle, with a good cycle. And that, again, can involve rethinking the scope, what we think is in the system and what's outside the system, and how we can have self-reinforcing good effects. Alright?
Then we're going to do this.
We're going to think about this matrix, and we're going to use this then to brainstorm solutions for these folks. Okay? Alright, while I go get a box of pencils then, what I want you to do is A and B on the problem. Let's get a little bit more detailed in your group than we just did in the group as a whole, and talk about the problem that you face, and what's in it, and what's out. Is the church your system? Is it the church and the community that's the system? You gotta think about that. Something's internal, something's external. Who are we? Are we the congregation now? That's planning. Discuss that. You're frowning.
Oh, I...
Help her out, people.
Yeah.
She needs help. You're her consultants. You're getting paid a lot of money for this, so get to work.
Do you feel an industry in church, or that you're
industry? It's every kind of business and government agency that comes into contact with construction. And you've described a cycle, and it isn't quite this. And it isn't quite that other thing, but it's something larger. And in each case, what's happening? Liability. What do you mean?
Reducing liability so that, for example, architects are motivated to keep their licensing, and to support a risky project puts that at risk. And so they want to reduce their liability in that regard.
Okay. So, existing materials are carbon. Okay, so it starts with players reduce life, or they're what we call in business school risk adverse.
Yeah.
Right? They're afraid of risk. Even unreasonably afraid of risk. Right? And existing materials are covered somehow. We know how to do this. We've always used the metal pipes. We've always used bricks. We don't know about that hay bale stuff. Right?
Always used asbestos.
Yeah, we always used asbestos. Right? Okay, so, but it's that conventional wisdom thing. We talked about that on Tuesday with the institutional dynamics. So, they're risk adverse. The existing materials are covered. I suppose I should have a third thing here in saying that they're the least risky, so that that continues on like that, and they continue to cover them. Okay, good. I want four subgroups in each group. How many of you are there? 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. Okay, pairs. Pair off here, okay? And you all have 6, 7. You got 2 pairs and 1 solo, all right? And I want you to do this here. You got these matrices. Each group pick one of these cells and brainstorm a strategy for breaking out of this cycle. Okay? So if you have this construction industry, you're going to have internal sources of change within that industry. And if it's judo, it's what it's being risk adverse might make them change. And if it's intervention, it's something from outside the system might make them change. Okay? Over here, you have got a scope problem, right? You're defining it as the congregation. So break into groups, y'all. Want 4 groups and just assign yourselves one of those 4 cells on that chart. Everybody. All right. Let's start with B, which was the dying church, okay? And we've got 4 cells here. Who has intervention?
We.
You two? Okay,
well,
so.
The number one thing that we did, we had a pastor that was wonderful, okay, just wonderful. But he'd been there for 20 years. But we went to meetings, and he never went with us, or Salma went with us, to about church growth. So we asked the bishop, and he said, we will see about talking to him about a change. So we got a new pastor, a younger pastor, and he is... And he
I didn't even know you could do this, you guys.
I didn't know you could do that
bold.
Either.
Well, that's bold. Okay, but look, it's perfect. It's right
but
here. It's
that
external.
Was ready for a church that he wanted to revitalize. And we're going to be a church that's going to reach out into the community. And so,
because the ELCA cares that their congregations are thriving. They don't want to see it spiraling down into the dirt.
So now we have a community-minded pastor.
I hope you don't take offense if I say spiraling down into the dirt.
Oh, it is. I think it is.
So it is changing. It is changing. And we now have a third service, and a lot of young people are coming. And
hope. Hope, do you hear that? That's hope. Hope gives you action.
And
okay.
lots of new teams.
I gotta go quickly. Let's move on to the next one. Where are you? Up here?
Yeah.
Judo.
Judo, very appropriate. Because we were talking about Japanese congregations.
Okay.
One of the sparks that they turn to quite frequently is preschools. There's a real demand for it.
Okay. And who's going to go to the preschool?
And then congregation members can be involved in the operation of the preschool, and that draws the people, you know, the established leadership into that.
If you have a preschool, who's going to come?
Well, the children
who are
not related to the church and the mothers. Those two groups are really important.
Okay, so it's going to appeal to the community, the people outside the congregation. They create something, an effort within the congregation, using the facilities, all these Sunday school rooms, and only one student in them, right? Right? And they picked childcare, even above all the other kind of outreach, because of the old rule. The children come, the parents will follow. Right?
That's
smart. Anything else?
I didn't realize it was this large, but bazaars have been very successful. Probably because it's kind of a new concept for the a cultural concept.
Ah.
And up to 1,000 people will come.
She's frowning. What's a bazaar? Tell her what a bazaar is.
Oh, I know what a bazaar is.
Oh, okay. It's a one-time event, unlike the child care center, so that might be practice.
Yeah. We do have two child cares in the thing. One school, a Montessori school, and the facilities and the child care.
Mm-hmm. And who goes to those?
I have never seen anybody.
Okay,
well,
so maybe what we need to do is connect those people to the church in some ways, if that's already happening. Right?
I'm wondering how that could happen. Yeah.
All right, we'll talk about it. Next group here.
That's internal spark.
Okay, you've got revolution or reform?
We have...
diverting or co-opting?
We have diverting.
Okay, revolution, let's hear it.
Well, we had said re-examine the vision and mission of the church and then somehow look at it as a group. We were having a little bit of trouble with this one. And then look at combining, well, one of our weaknesses is we don't have enough youth, and going outside of the church and combining youth groups with other churches that are struggling too.
Okay, so coalition with other churches.
Coalition with other churches, yeah.
All right. And then you had reform, also internal. Mm-hmm. And what did you say?
I said...
I'm not pointing to the woman behind you.
I said one of our assets are the long-term congregants. So
yeah.
Involve them in reviewing the mission.
Reviewing the mission. And don't they do this? Isn't this what ELCA does? Anybody done this before?
Yes, we have.
Doesn't the ELCA come out and say, we're going to help you go through a process and review your mission? And they will use existing congregants and try to use their experience and leadership to do that.
If they're involved, they're more likely to come up with brilliant ideas.
Yes,
and yeah, they'll be invested in it.
Yeah.
So instead of having to bring in from outside, build
schools. The older people.
We don't have that. Church of Christ, I don't know. I've never heard of it.
Oh, I keep talking about the ELCA. Well, we may have pretended it was a Lutheran church. I'm sure they have it in the UCC.
Yeah.
They must. All right. Thank you, folks. At least it gets you going in the right direction. Now, which one of those answers is right?
They're all right.
Yeah, they're all right. And any one of them or all of them might work together. Construction industry, sorry we're out of time, but let's keep going here. Where do we start? Tell me where to go. Diverting. They broke into two groups, diverting and co-opting, right?
Yeah.
So the ones who are diverting are acting on the weakness of this construction industry. And so what did you come up with? Say for external.
The idea of doing a model project just to demonstrate the use of green materials as a viable option.
Getting the codes changed.
Okay. A model project to demonstrate these green materials. Okay. How about on the bottom?
Trying to create demand for such materials.
And create demand. So, you might make some of these materials locally and try and sell them to somebody. Is that what you mean?
Or have a competition that educates folks about the possibilities of new innovations with furnace boiler technology or window glazing.
Free boiler to the person who wins the competition or something, huh? Like it. Okay. The co-opters, the people who are going to use the strength of the construction industry against itself.
One of our ideas for an external spark co-opting is using outside investors to kind of move to mitigate the risk they are dependent on the banks.
Okay, so if there were a green construction materials investment fund that would front you the money so that you as a supplier wouldn't have to, or give you an insurance policy, say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. That's external, but it's using the strength in the system. Go.
And then down in reform, we put down things like regulation industries offering incentives for using environmental materials, that kind of thing.
who's using incentives?
Regulation.
Regulatory agencies, being public agencies, could be pressured by the public to provide incentives for green materials. So let's put government incentives for green materials. In order to do that, we got to pressure the politics, right? Is that what you're imagining? Some sort of administrative or political kind of process. Probably visit our elected officials pretty soon.
Or increase dumping rates to
the... Yeah.
That's where you see that.
Increase dumping for non-ones, yeah. And disincentives. Mm-hmm. Right? Might be easier to go that way. That's kind of the weakness in that system, isn't it? The dumping cost. I didn't think of that. Hear that.
Yeah.
That's a weakness. Hear that? Okay. Well, you did it, you guys. It was hard, but you did do it. And in the process, you generated some ideas about change. And like I say, none of them are right, none of them are wrong. But they do get you thinking in new ways. And they get you thinking about your strategy when you apply those things. So that by itself is a spark of hope. And maybe something that could carry you forward from there. You all are very patient to wait this long, or you've run way over here. And I had some closing words, but I'm not going to give them. I think I'm just going to say thanks to you guys for 2 weeks of really enjoyable and informational and educational discussion. And go out and make change. Thank you.